Hey everyone, and welcome back to the First Act Podcast. This is part three of establishing your LinkedIn network with John Kraske. Listen in as we break down the tips and tricks to growing your authentic social following, driving real engagement, and creating value on LinkedIn in Web3. This is an episode you won't want to miss.
And now, hosted by Harry G, this is your one-stop shop for hot talk straight from the top. Whether you're trying to build a job in pop, rock, or any other artsy schlock, here's your top dog with info that can't be bought, it's gotta be sought. So sit back, crack a six-pack, because we're about to chit-chat and rip facts. It's the First Act Podcast.
And they're not expensive either. So you don't need to invest. Maybe you need to invest maybe a couple hundred dollars in a couple of these people that have courses on how to kind of take control of your LinkedIn profile, how to create great content. But it's anybody that's trying to say, hey, like, I'm going to charge you $5,000 or $10,000 for your LinkedIn, don't do it. You can probably do it with spending no money, but if you really want to level it up, I would suggest following a couple people that, whatever, if you reach out to me, I can tell you more about it. But yeah, that's it, man. I think it's not that complicated. So I guess first step is follow me and you, right? No, that's a good first step, right?
That's a great first step. And you know, I had a guest on the podcast a little while ago, and I might've mentioned his name to you in the past. So this guy is Phil Ranta, and he's worked at a lot of the large brand companies, and he was instrumental in building up a number of different companies. Now I think he's CEO of a company called Wormhole Labs that's in the Web3 space, but his background's in gaming, media, tech. He's also a comedian for a hot minute. Uh-huh. And so anyhow, but this guy has a phenomenal story, and the way that I found him is in a very similar way that I found you. Really, you know, he was creating great content the same way that you're creating great content on LinkedIn. And I shot my shot. You know, I had engaged with him a few times through comments, right? Or I reshared a post, and I was like, you know, I really resonate with, or I should say his posts really resonated with me, like, you know, his opinions. And I said, you know what, like, you know, maybe, you know, he has 30,000 followers, or maybe at the time he had like 18,000.
Yep.
And I didn't have a lot. And I just said, you know what, I've got a podcast. I could try to get him on the podcast. And I feel like from our conversation, at least one person will find value in it.
Yep. Me. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
At least I will. And one of the things, when I asked him, you know, how do you get in touch with people that seem like they're outside of your reach? He said, if you start by doing exactly what you did, Harrison, if you reach out to somebody, but before you reach out, you just engage with their content. You share a thoughtful opinion. You kind of get your name out there, you know, so that there's some recognition. I'm sure before I reached out to you, you had probably noticed, oh, Harrison Goldstein liked your post, or he had commented so-and-so. And then like I wrote you a personalized message. And then I was like, let's get on a phone call. And, you know, it's almost like sales, right? It's like you have all these touch points. But without even realizing it, it was very authentic for me, because I am a little bit more extroverted, and I'm happy, and I recharge by speaking with people, especially when I'm genuinely engaged. And so I ended up getting him on the podcast, and I got you on the podcast now. And you know, it's very cool. And both of you have introduced me to already some incredible people. And like, you just gotta fucking start, right? Because it doesn't matter if you went to university or not, if you finished high school or not, you know, everybody has an interesting story. And if there's something that someone's saying that resonates with you, just push it along. Like, just, you know, share it with your network, talk about it.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. You know, I found sometimes the bigger the person is, the easier it is to get in front of them, which is crazy, which is so funny. But yeah, you got to go, like the bigger they are, like the less fear you should have, because, the reality is maybe most people aren't even trying to reach out to them. Maybe most people probably talk themselves out of going for kind of a bigger personality. So yeah, like, I mean, like Kathy Hackle, I got her on my podcast just by messaging her, and I think it was literally first message she replied back. And then now, like, we speak all the time, and a lot of my guests on my podcast that have gotten pretty big names, literally just LinkedIn messages. Crazy.
Crazy. So,
and I think it's the way you frame the message. Don't be a pest. Just sometimes, you know, sometimes you get busy too. I don't have time to go through all my emails. So sometimes somebody just actually, to be honest, like a comment on a post will get my attention. I'll be like, oh, wait, that person messaged me. I need to message them back. So sometimes even that's
that's a good tactic that can work.
It's another important point there. You know, how many LinkedIn messages, personal messages, would you say you get on a regular day?
50 to 100.
Right. So this is important for everybody listening. You know, John gets 50 to 100 LinkedIn messages a day. You know, some of them could be spammy, right? As we all kind of experience, but I'm sure most of them are people reaching out, trying to get your attention, either to pitch something to you, or maybe it's people that are looking for advice or people that just want to connect with you.
Yep.
And it's very easy to get lost in that shuffle. And I don't think that it's intentional if someone like John doesn't write you back. So yep. Just like John is saying, you know, continue to engage, and then he'll say, oh shoot, you know, that person wrote me. I got to write them back. I got to set up a, you know, 10 minute or 15 minute call with them.
Yep.
If you, it's like, it's one thing to kind of text with one another on LinkedIn, yep. But it's a completely other thing if you're actually able to get on the phone, and then you remember what they look like or what they sound like. And then you genuinely just want to engage with them, because then they become your friends.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, it's 100%. So it's, and sometimes, yeah, I mean, or you run into me in a coffee shop in Austin and just recognize me and say hi. So
did you ever think
which is funny, the guy, his name was Rob, he's like, he kept staring at me for at least a half hour. And I was just like, wow, I don't know why this guy keeps staring at me. And then he came up and he's like, man, I was so scared to talk to you. I thought it was you, but I wasn't sure. So it's kind of funny. So I'm glad he did. But I literally had a similar encounter earlier in the day, because I went up to Cindy Crawford, actually. She was in Houston. So I went up to her and her husband. And the reason why I went up to her is because they used to be clients of one of the designers I worked for when I was in interior design. So we had a common connection, and it wasn't a completely, but I had thought about it for a minute. I was like, geez, should I even go up to her? And I don't know. I thought of it for about 30 seconds. I was like, whatever. I'm just like, life is short. I'm just gonna go say hi and not be a pest about it. So it was a real natural organic conversation. I didn't want anything out of it other than say hi and just say, hey, you know, I remember you from when I worked at Michael Smith and yada, yada, yada. So that was it. So,
right.
But yeah, I could empathize with his internal debate on whether to go up, but just do it. Who cares? Life's short. Just don't even think about it. What's the word? Either going to ignore you. Who cares? They're not going to, you know, maybe they'll respond, but they just don't have time. Who cares? At least you took your shot. Or the, you know, they're just really busy and they just literally haven't seen it yet. So, you know, but it's always worth it.
Or they brush you off and it makes for a great story, and you could post about it on LinkedIn, and other people might have other stories that would resonate with your story. And then all of a sudden you make five friends out of it that you would have never had you not posted about this weird encounter that you experienced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I've had a lot of people actually, the LinkedIn thing, it's starting to happen more frequently, which is a little weird, but, and I even have like people now bringing their kids to some of my in real life events to meet me, which is way out there.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I was in London. Somebody brought their kid to meet me. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I think the kid was like 12. So I don't even know if that's legal to be bringing like 12-year-olds to Web3 gatherings, but it was cool though.
That's cute. You give him like a little fist bump, or you're just like,
you know, I spoke for a second, and then I was supposed to circle back and talk to him. But that's the other thing, these events sometimes have like a few hundred people, and it's nonstop, and it's really hard to talk to everybody. So, but that's why we're going to continue to do more, so that I can eventually talk to everybody that's coming out for all these events. But yeah, we'll have to do one up in Canada. That's definitely needed soon. I feel like Vancouver for sure. I mean, it's home of Dapper Labs, and I know there's some other great Web3 and NFT companies up there. It's on the list. That Montreal would be amazing. Toronto. I've had a lot of people from all three of those cities reach out. More Toronto, Montreal actually, than Vancouver, which is sort of strange. But
There's a lot of people keeping. You know, it's the quiet people that you got to be aware of that are harder to find space. Often, I find, you know, the other ones are keeping their head down and working real hard on a lot of different projects that we don't even know what they're working on yet.
Yep. Exactly. So that's, you'll see that when I don't know if you've spoken to Philip yet. a musical, but he's one of those people.
No, I think we have a call next week, actually.
You'll see. He's one of those under the radar builders that built something really wonderful, and I think you'll love it. And I'm sure there'll be opportunities to do some collaboration at some point. But yeah, he's been building. You haven't heard about him because he's just been building. He didn't have a bunch of money, an expensive PR firm, and put on a bunch of parties with cool DJs. So he's just been building.
It's important. I want to ask you one more question about crypto.
Yeah.
Do you see cryptocurrency as a currency or more as an investment?
I see it. That's a good question. I think in Web3, it's definitely going to be the way we buy and sell goods and services. So that underlying technology is definitely important on kind of driving the next phase of the internet. I guess the question is it the ones that right now that the ones that people are predominantly invested in, Bitcoin and Ethereum, going to be those cryptos that are driving it? I don't know actually the answer to that. That's a super interesting question. So yeah, I think Bitcoin and Ethereum, I mean, I guess it's an investment, but you're investing whether one of those is going to be driving sort of the buying and selling of goods and services in Web3. So sort of it's an interesting debate. I don't know if I have a clear answer on that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Nobody ever asks me.
Yeah.
I'm happy you asked. I don't have a clear answer either. I think that where I see cryptocurrency, I'd say for the bulk of different companies is, it's almost like having chips at a casino, you know?
Yep.
It's like you buy with real money something else that you can that you can use at the table to play blackjack or play poker, right?
Yep.
Where you can always replenish it.
Yep.
With real fiat. I don't think that cryptocurrency is going to overtake fiat, at least not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But I kind of just see it as like, you know, in a game where you have currency in the game. Well, you got, you often either got that currency from earning it in the game or you got it from purchasing it with real money. And so that's sort of the extent of where I see crypto. Then I do see that crypto can be an investment from the standpoint of like, if you invest in Bitcoin or Ethereum, like right now, I'm quite confident, you know, I'll say more with Ethereum because it has a smaller market cap than Bitcoin does, that you can probably 4x your money in the next 2 years. If you just put money in right now, you put $1,000 into Ethereum, you'll see it turn to $4,000.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Now the question is, who's going to sell, right? Because of the people that are actually investing in it, they don't want to sell it on the high. I mean, like you could sell it on the high, but then what if it goes higher? So there's a lot of people that are just kind of consolidating and they're trying to get as much of it as they can. But then it's the same as a stock where your net worth might increase on paper, but you never, if you don't actually sell, then your net worth doesn't actually technically increase.
Yep. 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 No, that's great. It's a great answer. I love it. I love it. See, we're all learning here. So this is a sign of a good podcast, two-way learning.
Yeah. Well, John, I want to be cognizant of your time. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I know that we shilled the fuck out of LinkedIn. This was really
This felt like a LinkedIn infomercial.
Yeah, we got to get your LinkedIn influencer or your LinkedIn creator. What was he called? The guy who reached out to you?
The content guy. Advisor. The which one?
Like a content advisor.
Oh, my content creator manager, I guess.
Yeah, the content manager.
Yeah,
we got to get him to speak up and get the podcast sponsored by LinkedIn. I think that'd be so fun. Or just like, you know, have them write a little article about how LinkedIn is a driving force in the Web3 space.
I will absolutely reach out to them and see if we can make that happen. I would love that. I think, yeah, that would be a great post for them. So yeah, well, I'll do it for sure. We'll just say that me and you literally did a podcast where we talked 45 of the 50 minutes about LinkedIn. So how would they not want to promote that?
All right, dude. Well, thank you for sharing your story, your perspective, and really just, you know, speaking to my audience of, you know, mostly high school and college kids that are eager to, you know, they're chomping at the bit to work in entertainment. But I really, you know, a lot of them are also curious about new technology and emerging trends. So this is a very valuable podcast, and it gives them a lot of resources, I think, to get started on their career. And if they even are in their career right now, it's a good opportunity for them to explore new avenues if they want to pivot and have more of a tech focus.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like every high school and college should be literally teaching everybody how to build out an awesome LinkedIn profile. So if they're not doing it, it's like wasted opportunity. But that's a whole other debate about high schools and college teaching people the skills they really need to be successful, right?
Like coding.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, and we should do a whole other show about like leveraging like NFTs and Web3 for LinkedIn. You know, that's a whole other fun topic about verifying people's education and their employment history and yada, yada, yada. So there's lots of fun stuff that the technology can solve even on LinkedIn and many other just platforms that we use day to day. So
yeah,
man, this is amazing, man. I'm always humbled and honored to be asked to be on podcast, and you're awesome. And I love it. I mean, we're very new friends, but I feel like I've known you forever. So I'm excited to like connect you to more amazing people in my network, and to hopefully meet you in real life sometime later this year. Yeah, everybody, that's the power of LinkedIn right there.
That's exactly it. And if you guys have not yet checked out, I think it used to be NFT Thought Leaders, but now it's Good Morning Web3 Live. You guys absolutely should check that out. That's how I first discovered John, because he was shilling that so much. He was talking about NFT Thought Leaders, and I was like, you know what? It's a cocky name, but maybe they are thought leaders. And they had some incredible conversations, and they attract a large group of people. So I think it's an incredible, I think that I was brought up to ask a question, right? I think that that's what happened. I was brought up.
I do remember calling you up now. Jeez, man. I didn't even connect the dots. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I actually forgot, but that was how we connected. And and through that, just from me being on the stage, I think I got 55 or 60 new followers in my network, people reaching out just to be curious about what I was working on. I think it was the episode when you had the crypto recruiter in there.
Oh, Emily. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I talked to her earlier this week.
She's also a bright mind in the space, knows tons of people. So anyways, if you haven't yet checked out Good Morning Web3 Live, I think that you guys host it on LinkedIn, right? You still host?
We do every Friday typically at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. So we'll be doing that again this Friday. We actually have a special guest, somebody that his name is Tom, I think, Fleetman. He's the head of like gaming at Zilliqa, which is an awesome blockchain based out of Australia. So
what an incredible
community. Yeah, it'll be fun. So yeah, Anthony's, I think, on vacation this week, but Anthony Day, who hosts the podcast Blockchain Won't Save the World, he's usually there, but he's on vacation. So it's going to just be me, Grace, and then Tom
Leakman. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be tuning in.
Love it.
Yeah, I try to show up to as many of those as I can, even just as a listener. So yeah. I will, I'll see you in there. And John, thanks again for all your great insight, and can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you again. All right. This is fun.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Remember, new episodes release every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific. See you there.